Amen. It is good to be together. Now we're coming to God's Word. We're going to be thinking this morning about our Lord Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. And my desire is to unfold something of the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ in an ongoing series of messages. And in doing that, I've sought to go with an A, B, C, D, E, F, etc. approach. But I would encourage you to even delve into these things yourselves, looking at others other than the advocate beginning with A. Look at others other than the beginning with B, and looking at others other than cornerstone beginning with C, that we might just engage with the wonderful Savior who is our Lord. Because Christianity at his heart is about knowing God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is central. He's the fulfillment of all God's purposes. He is the one who is the focus of eternal attention. So cornerstone is where we come to this morning. What is a cornerstone? A cornerstone has to do with building construction. Those of you who are familiar with buildings would have some awareness of these things, perhaps. But the cornerstone is, it's not in the foundation, but it is above the foundation. And it is the stone which is set so that all the other stones in the building follow in line therefrom. So as you're building up, so bricks you probably have in your house, there's the first one, as it were, laid. And from that one, all the others are formed to make the house. The one that is the cornerstone sets the pattern, sets the arrangement so that the house can be built. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the church. Many churches call themselves Cornerstone Church, and they're just wanting to indicate that their church is formed from Jesus Christ. It develops from him. So we're thinking this morning of the church. We're thinking of not just Feltham Evangelical Church. We're thinking about the whole church. We're thinking about all those who have come to be followers of the Lord Jesus from the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, to the time when the church is raptured away to be with the Lord forever. We're thinking about that great building. We're thinking about that great body. These are some of the descriptions. We're thinking about the church, all of those thousands and millions through the ages, many of them now in heaven, which make up that great building. So Peter, in his writings in 1 Peter, is not writing to a specific church. You go back right to the beginning, you'll see that he's writing to verse 1, we'll see he says to elect exiles of the dispersion. These people are spread out all in different areas. Perhaps some of them are feeling quite isolated. Does that sound familiar? And as a result of feeling isolated, they start to wonder, well, what is it about being a Christian? Am I really a Christian? Why? I don't see many others around. And they got lots of questions. And on top of that, they got suffering. They got people who are against them. And they're wondering how to make sense of it all. And Peter is writing them to encourage them to know who they really are and what their calling really is. And it's a big calling from God. And they really are the people of God. That's what he wants to establish them in, so they can move forward through their isolation, through their suffering. And that probably has very similar themes for ourselves to think about as we go forward in our lives. So Peter has stated in verses 3 to 12 of chapter of chapter 1, something of the great things that have happened to these people, how God has worked to change their lives. And in chapter 1, verse 10 through to verse 3 of chapter 2, he started to exhort them to live and to be for God. And so in verse 15, he's called them, you are called, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. They're called to holiness. And they're called, as we come into chapter 2, to put away all malice. And they are, in verse 2 of chapter 2, they're called to, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. And that is the word of the Lord. And as these things are being worked out and they're starting to think how they are to live, Peter then goes on to say to show them what their great situation is. And he's going to describe to them how they are likened unto the temple of the Old Testament. In a sense, they are the new temple. The church, in one sense, is the fulfilled temple, is in one sense the new temple. And one of the themes that goes through Peter, and particularly in this passage, is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, how so many things are brought together in the church. And so Peter would be encouraging them that they're not just cast away and they're not just those who've lost out. They are actually essentially part of God's purpose. And connecting it into the Old Testament, how they are a great people of God. So as we come to our passage, I want to think firstly this morning of a great house, of a great house. So we're in chapter 2, and we're going to see, first of all, how they are a great house in verses 4 and 5. And that house, not a house like we live in, it's a big temple-like house. Let's look at it in verse 4. So you're coming, as you come to him, a living stone. So the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ, first of all, is introduced to us as a living stone. It's hard for us fully to get these things, these images into our heads, isn't it? Because we think about a brick and it's solid and it's fixed and it's not really living. But the image that Peter wants us to get here is of a living building with living stones, and the most important stone in that building is the living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And people had come, had seen him come into the world, and they assessed him, and they say, don't want him, don't want him. That's the idea as you go in verse 4. They'd rejected him. You think they were thinking of one who's coming to deliver them a great political, military deliverance. They said, no, he can't be the one. But God says he is chosen. God says he is precious. God said he is the one. He is essentially, perfectly dear to me. And so the Lord Jesus is the keystone. He's the living stone. And we are to keep coming to him. The Christian life is about keeping on coming to him. That's the idea at the beginning of verse 4. We're keeping coming to Jesus Christ as we have fellowship together, as we study God's word, as we pray. We're keeping coming to Jesus Christ day after day. That's the essence of our lives. What am I to do as I go out into this week? I am to be coming to Jesus Christ. If you learn nothing through this message this morning, the essential call of ourselves as Christians, as a description and as a thing that we experience, is that we're keeping coming to Jesus Christ. And as that is happening, we go into verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up. A spiritual house, like the temple of old was a big physical building. Now the church is a big spiritual building, and you've got all of these living stones. that'll tell us very quickly, wasn't it, that the church is not a museum. What does a museum contain? It contains things that show us everything about history, which is largely dead. But the church is a living thing full of life. And so we come and we're part of this spiritual building. And as we're part of this spiritual building, we're being built up as a spiritual house. Now let's just, we are thinking about the whole church here throughout the ages, but that church is demonstrated in individual churches like Feltham Evangelical Church. So children, I haven't got an orange in front of me, but do you remember when we did the orange? Which is the orange? The little segment inside or the whole orange? Which is the orange? One of them? That one? This one? Which is the orange? And we say, well, they're both the orange, aren't they? They're both orange. And so it is with the church. The church is the big church throughout the ages. And we are the church here. And so we should show something of this. This being built up, this being renewed. Christians, are we being built up in this church? Are we being building each other up? Are we helping each other through the interaction with God's words and God's ways? That's what it's called. That we might offer spiritual sacrifices. So there's things going on in this house as there was in the temple in the Old Testament. And it was to do with sacrifices, and there they offered animals and they had lots of offerings, but we now have spiritual offerings, it says there in verse 5. We're a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices to acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That is what our lives are called into. As we know a living relationship with God, we're called into this life of sacrifice, our lives offered up. We are our priests offering up our own lives, as in the Old Testament. What would happen in the Old Testament? Well, you'd have these special people called priests, and they would get animals and they'd offer the animals up. And now, in a sense, we're all priests offering up our own lives. So, what verse would that remind us of, everybody? Romans chapter 12. And verse 1, which says, we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God. That is our call. That is our reasonable response to the goodness of God, which had been previously revealed in the book of Romans, as that scripture is there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Our lives are to be devoted to God. I should be thinking now, my life is not for God. I am living in this church, not for myself, but for God. I am living in my family, not for myself or for God. Not for myself, but for God. That's the core. I continually say, this is for God. I am for God. I'm part of Jesus Christ. These acceptable sacrifices. Think of two other things about sacrifice. Think about Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 15, where it says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Worship. Our lips consecrated that we might offer praise. And then think of our offering. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul would say, I've received a full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Speaking of giving, speaking of a gift that Paul had received from the Philippians, it was great to be able to participate in the giving of that gift to Machili Patnam in India, and to see the response at the other end for the food that they receive. And in a sense, that is an offering made up to the Lord, and we can see that sacrifice, as it were, ascending to the praise of God as they received it. So that is this great house, this living house with spiritual happenings. Let's think secondly of a great division, a great division, as we look at verses 6 and through to 8. 6 and through to 8. And here, Peter is going back. He's going back to the Old Testament with these three scriptures. So he says it stands in Scripture. But this is going back to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Scripture will speak about in Zion, in God's special place viewed spiritually. Jerusalem is God's special place. Zion is the name used for its spiritual characteristic towards God. And in that place, there is a stone. Going into the temple, there's a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. So this living stone we thought about earlier is now the cornerstone. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Come to faith in him. You'll be not be cast away. You Christians who are dispersed about everywhere, you're being said you're on the wrong track and it's no good and you've been rejected. When we are in Christ, we are those who do not have ultimate shame. People may scoff at us and mock at us. Do not have shame. We are those who are on the right side because we're on God's side. So we're connected with the essential stone of the building, that cornerstone, that special stone, God's chosen stone. We connect through faith. We believe. We accept that it's God's purpose central in Christ, and we believe. And as we believe, we have honor. So honor is for you who believe. Honor is for you who believe. Next month, God willing, it will be the Queen's Birthday Honours List. Queen's Birthday Honours List. I don't know if anybody's expecting to be on the list, but there are honours given out, OBEs, MBEs, knighthoods, etc., etc. Well, I got to tell you something this morning, that you've all got honours. You've all got titles. We could, in a sense, speak to each other as Royal Highness and things like that, because that's what we are. We are. It's an amazing thing, but God places honor upon us. Dare I say, if I could use the titles, could we speak of Her Royal Highness Maggie Filchaver this morning? She arise, or can we think about Sir Neil Harcourt, Knight of the Eternal Empire? Honor. Can you believe it? This is the radical change that we, who are despised and rejected according to our own sinful estate, now. Honor. What an amazing statement it is there. For those who believe, there's honor. But for those who don't believe, see, there's a great division. There's always a great division. Those who don't believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. There is a background here. I don't know if it's a myth or whether it actually happened, but when they constructed the temple in the Old Testament, apparently there was this is not in the scripture, it may just be a story. I have to accept that. But the story is told that there were one stone turned up and they couldn't really understand how this stone fitted in the building. And so they just threw it away. And then when it came to the end, they thought, there's still a hole in the building. How are we going to fill it? And they realized that the stone that they'd cast away was actually the stone that they needed. And the stone was the stone that completed the building. Well, that's just something of an analogy to think here of how the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. People People say they don't want the Lord Jesus. You know, they consider him and they just reject him. They say, I don't want him. You see, the problem is, going back to David's children's talk this morning, people get the issues wrong. People get the issues wrong. They don't understand the real issues. The real issues are about sin and salvation. People consider the real issues about comfort and pleasure and health and wealth. And that's what people think are the real issues. And when they look at Jesus Christ and think, well, he's not going to give me comfort and pleasure, health and wealth, they sort of say, they reject him. Say, well, he's no good for me. But they miss the big issues. The big issues are eternal. The big issues are of sin. Again, to think about what we thought about, that the coronavirus come, go, the big issues of sin. And if you are casting him aside, I say, you're on the wrong side of history. Get real, get right, get Jesus Christ and embrace him. Your big issue is sin, and he deals with sin, okay? The big issue is our rebellion against God. He came and he died on the cross to take all of our punishment. Jesus Christ is the one who's alive now, and he is the cornerstone. He's the essential one. And the one who comes to the source of no shame for believer in verse 8, he becomes a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. It's as if they've cast him aside and now they walk off and they trip over him. And it's to their own damnation. It's to their own shame. And this is all according to God's word. They stumble, end of verse 8, because they disobey the word. That's the essential thing, you see. It's the word of God. You're standing against what God has given. They disobey it, choose their own way. And this is not just some accident. This is just, it is really according to God's purpose. There is a destiny in this. All those who choose to go away on their own way and reject the word of God, the way of God. See, there's a great division. And the division is in this one stone. He's either the cornerstone and everything to you in your life, in your church, or he is nothing, and you end up tripping over him to your own destruction. Oh, we plead this morning that this is essential for us to think about as regards to our life. So there's a great division. There's also a great people. So these people who are the cornerstone people, as we come into verse 9, the first part of it, we see how they take a grand place. Look at those four statements. Here's a great people. By grace, we are a great people, as we are a cornerstone people. Only through being a cornerstone people in that living house are we, what does it say? We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. This is everything that the nation of Israel was supposed to be, called to be, ordained to be. The church is now, and more. Just notice the one, the royal priesthood there. You couldn't have a royal priesthood in the Old Testament. Why? Because the Levites, they were the priests. Okay? The tribe of Judah, they were the kings. Okay? So the two were two different tribes, but now it's even more that because of Jesus Christ, who brings the priesthood and the kingship together, we are a royal priesthood. We are kings and queens who can come to God, and we can offer praises. We can have these lives which are for the Lord. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. We know that. Every Christian now can come and offer spiritual service. You might think that you have an insignificant place in the church. You are a priest. We have no special office of priesthood, except for the fact that we're all in the office of priesthood. We're all priests. So we see this great people. And then we'll see, fourthly, we'll see a great activity. will see a great activity. This is our calling. You dispersed Christians throughout the empire of old. This is your great activity you're called to. Feltham Evangelical Church, this is the great activity we are called to, and we are called to this now. So let's look at it. It says the end of verse 9. It says, we have the word which says, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to proclaim the excellencies, the beauties, the wonders of the God who's rescued us from darkness into his marvelous light, which our second hymn revealed about the King of Kings coming and God's purposes in all of these things. What are we to do about these things? That is our calling. In our lives and in our lips, to declare the praises of our God. You in your workplace, you in your home place, you in your neighborhood place, you in your marriage place. Now the danger is here, we go, better do it. I better get on and do these praises. We've got to get it going with it. And that's in one sense right and proper, but there's a deeper level to these things, is that the whole flow of this passage comes out of verse 4, which is us being living stones connected to the living stone. So we will be led as a church into declaring the excellencies of our God when we have the life of God flowing through us. You in your workplace will show the excellencies of God when you have the life of God flowing through you. So how's that going to happen? Well, we just got to get active, haven't we? Of getting to be knowing our God, living in our God, connected to the living stone, the cornerstone. We need to be studying the Bible. We need to be engaging with the Lord in prayer and in fellowship. But we need to put strategies in place so life so easily drifts on, doesn't it? So think about some strategies. In your quiet time each morning, perhaps write down one verse which will go through the day with you. Perhaps you can set your phone so that every hour or at random times it goes off and you're reminded, I am a Christian. I have got to focus on the fact of being a living stone. Think about scripture memorization so you're getting the word of God going into your lives. Generally, think about things that can trip us up. Dare I say that? During the week, and they'll trip us up. What they might be for you, you're tripped up and you say, oh yes, I must return to the Lord. Because so very easily we just go on in life and we forget the Lord and we just go on aimlessly. And our lives can go, our days can just pass. Perhaps it's at every meal time you say, I've got to read a scripture. Every meal time I've got to turn to God and remember that I'm one who's called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Perhaps it's in the toilet at home. You put a verse in front of you, or you have a book of verses to read. Work it out yourselves. And as a church, we can be thinking about these things. There is a sense in which when we have the structure of church life with the Lord's Supper, Sunday to Sunday, the Lord's Supper is a tripwire to say, I must come back to God. I focus upon Christ. I confess my sins. Every Lord's Day is like this, every service, but the Lord's Supper serves in a particular way. And during the week, I can remember, last Sunday, I celebrated the Lord's Supper. Last Sunday, I confessed Jesus as the Lord. And we're tripped up. And we have to think, yes, I am though one of those. And I draw near. And as a result of that, I will flow out with the praises of God. Okay. So can I say to you, to think about our parents, I think, ask you to think about when your child just something that just really annoys you, will you have the praises of God revealed in your life and in your lips, that you are different, there is a gentle response. In your work situation, will you show forth the praises of your God in that gentle but firm conduct towards your colleagues? As a church, will we flow out into our community? Will we flow out that people might see in Felton the excellencies of our God? And don't forget, this caters for a coronavirus time as well. We don't just say, well, it'll start in the future. It happened in the past. We've got to be working this out now. But we would be for the showing the praises of our God. That's our calling. So cool. And finally, there is a great transformation. So we thought about a great house. We thought about a great division. We thought about a great people. And we thought about a great activity. Now we'll think about a great transformation. It's just an amazing statement in verse 10, drawn from the first two chapters of Hosea and how God just changes situations. We go back to Hosea and remember how Hosea was married to that lady, Gomer. Gomer was a woman who gave herself to prostitution, adultery. She was a treacherous woman, a betraying woman, a woman who deserved to be discarded. But Hosea was called to go after her. And that was just a great picture of the Lord's love towards us, going after us. And so we were once a no people, but now we are a people. And no, it says more than that, doesn't it, in verse 10? It says more than that. Amazing news. Now we are the people of God. But once we hadn't received mercy, and we might say, well, that was right and proper. We hadn't received mercy. We're all Gomer-like. But now we have received mercy. God has shown pity upon us. What a transformation. And we are those who've been brought into this spiritual house. We've been brought out of darkness, this great transformation. It's a crazy thing that Philip Venables would drift into his life and not have contact with the living stone, isn't it? When you think about what God has done for me, what a nonsense it is that I would think that I can live my life and I can go hours and days without really going into connecting with the Lord when he's done so much for me. He has transformed my life. I am now one who is of the people of God. I am now one who's received mercy. Fellow Christians, it's amazing news. And we are connected into this great building. We're connected to the cornerstone, the living stone. So as we come to conclusion this morning, as those who are experiencing some degree of isolation, perhaps a degree of suffering, perhaps a degree of confusion, let's remember who we are, where we are, what we're called to be. We are the people of God who are the temple of God, who are called to declare the praises of our God. May we be those who rise up in this generation to serve the Lord together. What an amazing thing that this includes us, that we are those who are connected to the living cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing our final hymn together this morning, a hymn to set us forth.